And on that note, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, normally we go to chapter 6, we're going to deal with the Shema. Hear, O Israel. This is a Hear, O Israel also, but it's not the Shema. It's another portion that has to do with increase. Everybody say increase. Thank the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 and 3. Thankful that Israel was able to hear God reiterate those promises and bring them to pass right before their eyes. Sometimes unbelieving eyes. Sometimes a doubting heart. But God was faithful and brought them through. And thank the Lord for it. Let's read together, please, Deuteronomy 6 and 3. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Praise God. That was a promise that they received 40 years before. And now they're approaching that promised land, and thank God they have an awareness of what God wants to do to increase them mightily. Praise God. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. The share groups multiplied. We had three large share groups. They were large small groups. And we decided it would be simpler and better if we really did go with small groups. So we multiplied. Instead of three, we have six. And I think very readily, those groups can multiply. Because actually, they're really not that small. I think the smallest is seven. And it goes up from there. So the potential to multiply again is there. And thank God, that's God's plan. The history of the growth of the Hebrews is astounding. God's promises to Abraham and the land that they would inherit, that he would walk upon, and it would be for the Hebrews. They'd dig wells for watering of their flocks and for their needs. They'd build altars to keep their relationship with God and to keep him in the forefront. And the Lord promised, I'm going to multiply you. Genesis 17 and 2, the Lord told Abraham, I will multiply thee exceedingly. Praise God. You remember learning multiplication tables when you were in grade school? You remember what a challenge it was, and then what a good feeling it was to master he didn't master zero. We know zero times anything is zero, and mastering one was one times anything is just going to be what you've multiplied it by. But when you got to the twos, the threes, the fours, the fives, oh man, how proud you were to have all of that. And then all the way up to 10, all the way to 12, and wow, it was just quite a challenge. Well, the Lord wanted the people of Israel to recognize that he was going to multiply them. He even changed the names, Abraham to father of nations, Sarah to being a princess. He prophesied that they would have a son. He even named the son. His name is Isaac. They got off track a bit, and Ishmael was born to Hagar, but he was not the heir that God had promised. And the promise again came forth. Abraham laughed because he considered his age, the age of Sarah. He was 100, she was 90. Them having a son, well, it was a laughable situation. Sarah laughed when the promise of the son was given again to her, and how that God emphasized it's going to be you, and gave the name of Isaac. You know what the name Isaac means? Laughter. So their laughter may have been a little prophetic even. You know, that even though it may have been done in a bit of a doubtful state, is it possible that we at this age could have a son? And they'd messed up with Ishmael. Things didn't quite turn out the way that they had hoped. But now Isaac was born, and laughter really came forth because of the blessing of the Lord. The testing on Mount Moriah, that was quite a step for Abraham, quite a step for Isaac. And you stop and consider a young boy and a man past 100, and probably Isaac was a teenager and maybe even closer to 20. Who would have won that contest if it came to a wrestling match? No, I'm not getting on that altar. No, you're not going to stick that knife in me. You know, that sort of thing. But Isaac, learning from the faith of Abraham, learning from the obedience and the commitment of Abraham, knew what God could do. And so the worship that they offered in sacrifice, and the Lord answering and revealing and showing his power, Jehovah Jireh, praise God, the Lord will provide. And that ram caught by its horns in the thicket. There's not a forest on top of the mountain. On top of the mountain, there's just scrub brush, if anything, mainly just grass. A miracle that that ram would be caught by its horns in the thicket. God providing the miracle. God will provide. Amen. But that wasn't the lamb that was prophesied that would be given. God will give himself, provide himself. Praise God. What an incredible, incredible promise. And we thank the Lord that he had provided it. But also the promise in 22:17, in this instance, up on the mountain and so on, the Lord promising Abraham again, in multiplying, I will multiply thee. There it is again, the Lord letting him know. He told him to look at the sand, look at the stars. You know, you look down. Sometimes our look is downward. Just remind yourself that God would multiply the people like the sand. You look up. Thank God we can look up. And the stars would be what God counts. And I know we're being shown in the pictures of the telescope now of a stars being born, a nursery in this galaxy, and all of this idea. Now, that's wonderful. But God already knows. God already has provided. Praise God. You think of the power of one. We'll skip ahead to Joseph. The power of one. And how being a slave in Egypt, sold by his brothers, coming from the pit and arriving at the palace. That's quite a journey. Quite a process. 13 years in that process. It was a long time. But there came the time, 9, 10 years later, that his brothers joined him. And the dream being fulfilled, they bowed down before him, not realizing he is Joseph, their brother. But then that whole process of the family coming one, being in Egypt, joined by 69 others, 70, who would be the family of Joseph, 70. And then that multiplying in an incredible way. Exodus 1 and 7, the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. A lot of redundancy there to help us to understand God did bring it to pass. God did multiply them amazingly. Amen. Verse 12, the more they were afflicted, see, a new Pharaoh came into power, not remembering Joseph and his work, looked at this people that were in Goshen and considered them a security threat. Thought, if a nation comes and these people, the Hebrews, align themselves with our enemy, and they're within our borders, there could be some real problems in our nation. So he planned to subjugate them, make them slaves. Verse 12 of Exodus 1, the more they afflicted them, what happened? The more they multiplied and grew. Huh. And thank the Lord, God fulfills his plan. So then, Moses led Israel out of Egypt, going to the land of milk and honey, and there would be the multiplication. Deuteronomy 10 and 22, you know, it'd be interesting. I didn't do it, but it'd be interesting to see how often that word multiply applies to the people of Israel as they're leaving Egypt and God giving them the promise. But Deuteronomy 10 and 22, the reminder is given to them, you had 70 in Egypt, 70. There were 70 of you, but now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Praise God. Thank the Lord for that blessing and that power. Now, we might consider this. This is centuries ago, millennia ago from us. And what about things progressing, things going on? I thought about how the miracle took place for Abraham, for Joseph, for Moses, and the people of Israel. And you have to conclude, nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. The Lord can bring it about. Let's move to the city of Jerusalem to a priest named Zechariah. And he is in the temple. He's offering incense on the table. That's his job. That's his responsibility. He's up in years. And his wife is up in years, and they've been faithfully serving God, and now an angel appears. And this was something unusual for Zacharias. And the word came to him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Praise God. Prayer answering God. Amen. And it had been years, years that they had been married and prayed for a child, but nothing happened. Well, Gabriel gave him a promise of a son. And again, the name was already given. Just like Isaac's name was given, John's name was given. And Zacharias, unfortunately, gave the excuse, I'm an old man. My wife is well stricken in years. That's how he described their age. And because he expressed that unbelief, speechless. Now, most of us would be speechless if we saw an angel. Most of us would be speechless if we heard a promise like that. But I hope we wouldn't be speechless because of a judgment that came on us for not believing. I hope we would be accepting. Praise God. Now, move from Jerusalem to Nazareth. Notice a city and a village. God is not stopped. God is not held back. God doesn't have boundaries and what is required for him to work. The village of Nazareth, the angelic message to Mary, and that angel likewise giving a message to Joseph. An unmarried virgin will give birth to a son. You call his name Jesus. I like the way God is able to make his promises and bring them to pass. Just without, there was fanfare with Jesus' birth, the angels appearing to the shepherds and so on, but and the prophecy being fulfilled, a virgin shall conceive, he'll be a light to the Gentiles. His name is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That's who it is, God with us. Amen. Not a God, but the God with us. Praise God. He's wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Praise God. And it's easy to conclude then who he is. He's God Almighty. Amen. Who declared there's no other. Praise the Lord. And we should note in verse 7 of that promise in Isaiah that the increase is going to be no end. God's still on the plan of increase. Still there. Praise God. And with God, nothing shall be impossible. So here we have an elderly woman who had been looking for a child all of her married life. Nothing. And now, a child being promised called John. And then here's a young woman, a virgin, not even married, and a promise to her that she is going to bear a son, name him Jesus. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Thank the Lord he can give the increase to an elderly Elizabeth in the city and to a young Virgin Mary in the village. Doesn't matter. Nothing holds our God back. Amen. And these women, in particular, being very faithful, led to a fruitfulness. Amen. And the Lord, being the Lord of the harvest, declaring the harvest is great, the laborers are few. Thank the Lord. He desires to bring forth. He desires to bring about an increase. He told us to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest. His harvest is eternal. Now, we work. We spend time on the job. We're careful with our finances. We make our purchases diligently and look for the best deal and so on. We're doing all of the things that we should. And our harvest is good to enjoy. Enjoy your nice home and your car that starts, hopefully, every time you turn the key and rolls on down the road. And whatever it is that your money has harvested for you, enjoy it, because it's going to pass away. His harvest, forever. Forever. Praise God. And so when he said, I send you forth, he was sending us into a harvest that was going to be eternal. Amen. And thank God we can be involved in that. We're privileged to be involved in that. Thank the Lord. And we can be a part. So, Paul's journeys into the harvest fields resulted in many things happening. And in one instance, Paul took Silas, Barnabas took John Mark, and Luke could only go with one of the group, so he chose Paul and Silas, and we have the record then in the book of Acts. It'd really be interesting to know what happened to Barnabas and John Mark, wouldn't it? Were they failures? No, no. No, no. Praise God. That's going to be one thing that you can look forward to in the heavenly realm, to sit down with John Mark and Barnabas and say, hey, what'd you guys do? Where'd you go? How big was the revival? How many towns did you build churches in? Praise God. That's going to be an awesome thing. But Acts 16 and 5, this is the result of these two groups going out, and then others, of course, that went out as well. The churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. Daily they increased. Praise God. And then the Holy Ghost led them to Macedonia, and Lydia and her household baptized. A girl who was demon-possessed was delivered. The jailer and his house being baptized. Well, let me ask you something here. Let me back up to Acts 18, 9, and 10. We're with chapter 19, is or 16, rather. Chapter 18, 9 and 10. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Okay, now how does that jibe with the Philippian jail? Because they were hurt. They were bruised. They were bloody. They were beaten. Is God a liar? Is this not going to pan out the way that he intends? Well, you've got to believe the miracle. If I was beaten with a rod and a big burly Roman soldier laid that on my back, I don't think I'd be baptizing people after midnight. I think I'd be laying there moaning and groaning. I probably wouldn't be praising the Lord either at midnight and the jail getting shook up and everybody's bonds were loosed, not just Paul and Silas. Praise God. But when a miracle happens, when God steps in, when he delivers, when he shows his power, all things are possible, aren't they? Praise God. So, when we meet opposition, when we're persecuted to some degree, when we're having some setbacks, just be assured, God still can multiply. Yes. Don't hold back. Don't feel like you're afraid and don't want to speak. No, the Lord says, I'm with you. And I have much people in this city. Praise God. We just have to find them. We just have to teach them. We just have to baptize them and pray them through the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And you know what? Some of them may have already been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm reading Brother Cole's little book. Actually, it's not his book. It's about him. One of the men in the West Virginia church that he pastored wrote from their notes, from Sister Cole's notes and Brother Cole's notes. He compiled it and made a record of the things that happened. And this is about the third time I'm reading it now. It's real short. I'd encourage you to get it on your device and reading it because it's humorous. If you know about Brother Cole and his size getting into a Morris Minor and getting back out of it and his britches tearing and he marches a children's school, a Presbyterian school, had all of the students lined up to greet the missionaries as they come, and his britches are flapping in the breeze. And those kids see that. It's an amazing story. But he tells about some of the setbacks. I can't remember the country, but there was a rainstorm. They were having a crusade, a rainstorm. And probably like Ketchikan, the rain was coming down sideways, he said. And it was doubtful that anybody was going to show up because of the rain being so horrendous, so strong, and the wind howling. But the team went to the place of the meeting anyway, and the rain let up. And because the storm closed everything, all the markets, all the shops, everything was closed. They had nowhere else to go. So they went to the crusade. Praise God. And hundreds received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You know, we sing about God can take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it to good. Oh my, he can do it. He can do it. Praise God. He tells about Pakistan, going to Pakistan for a revival, for a crusade. And they had opportunity to meet with the Ministry of Religion, Minister of Interior, who also oversaw religion. Now, remember, Pakistan is what? What religion? Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, you know, just anything but Christian. Christians are very much a minority there. And they couldn't advertise. The news media would not accept their little advertisement, even a single column. Nothing. They couldn't buy it. They couldn't do anything. But they had this meeting with this minister in the government. And when they arrived at his office, and the team was shown in to meet with him, here was the news media. Television cameras, newspaper reporters, and all that were there. And the problem was a coup was taking place or about to take place. And there was unsettlement in the government of Pakistan. And things were not looking very good at all. But they met with this man. And he said, and Brother Cole told him, we're not here to proselyte. We're here to have a meeting among the Christians like they've never had before. And so the minister said, I will come to the meeting. I will introduce you. And you can go ahead with your meeting. And now, here's what was so unique about it was they had planned to have the meeting on the weekend. The minister said, no, you've got to start tonight. No advertising, no arrangements and so on. You've got to start tonight. It was a Wednesday. And don't wait for the weekend. And the news media is getting all of this. And so, okay, they quickly make as much arrangements as they can. Transportation has been shut down. You know, the coup is building. There's rebellion, and the ministry of the government shut down transportation. But the minister said, I will arrange for buses to take people to your meeting. And the cameras are rolling, and this is being reported. So that night, the minister of interior or religion, whatever he was, got up, made the introductions, we're glad to have them, and so on. And the TV cameras are there again. And so Brother Cole and the team start to minister, and they feel impressed to make the first night a night of healing. So they call for those who are sick after they, ministered for a bit. And God moved powerfully. And people hardly even got to the front and they were healed. And the television cameras are rolling. They're catching all of this. In fact, one of the reporters followed people home and interviewed them to make sure it wasn't fake, to make sure it wasn't set up, that they role played that they were crippled or blind or whatever. He followed up on them, and he wrote a report, multiple pages, insert in the newspaper, explaining how God healed. They got far greater coverage than they would ever have been able to pay for. They got more coverage in the news than they'd ever dreamed. And the meeting came to an end, and the coup erupted. Rioting in the streets. Crazy stuff going on. And they could barely get to the airport to fly out. In fact, he said the taxi driver took us through somebody's yard so they could get around whatever was going on and get to the airport, and they could fly out. I'm probably leaving out some of the details. I really encourage you to get a hold of that book. I can look it up now, I guess. Because I'm not quite done reading it. I'm looking for the title. Okay. How do we do this? Oh, there it is, Kindle. Oops. So now I got to get to the front. Oh, for crying out loud. Sorry, those of you who are watching online. Okay, here we go. The cover. The Ministry of Billy and Shirley Cole by David Joseph. The Life and Ministry of Billy and Shirley Cole. It's real short. It's not a long read, but it is incredible. The ministry that they have in Thailand to start with, a journey to Indonesia to work among the Muslims, into India, Pakistan, several other places. And he tells about a Laotian girl. She didn't speak Thai, didn't speak English. She spoke Laotian. And she received the Holy Ghost and spoke in English. And he said their main outreach was to two Christian groups. They just could not break into the Buddhism of the Thais. And just, you know, you say, well, the Bible says this. And they would say, well, what's the Bible? Or the Apostle Paul taught this. And they would answer, well, who's Paul? They just didn't know. They didn't know. So they began to pray, God, how are we going to break in? And they were led to pray for miracles. Miracles, because it's hard to deny a changed life. It's hard to argue against a healing that takes place right before your eyes. Praise God. And they began to believe God for miracles. And sure enough, God began to heal. God began to move. God began to show his power in the miraculous. And more Buddhists were changed. And the hand of the Lord being revealed. So, much people in this city. Much people in this country. Oh, yeah, God can do it. And we've got to be willing to step forward and see, you know. And Brother Cole, he didn't want to take the credit. He said, we can't take the credit for what God does. He told one of the workers after a tremendous move of God that night, he said, you know, we need to pray all night. We need to fast. We need to pray all night. And Brother Cole said, no, that would give us the credit for what happened. We can't take the credit for what God did. Let's have something to eat and go to sleep. Praise God. And so God can use you. Amen. And maybe not a big crusade like in Pakistan. Maybe not... any of the others. You know, what he wanted, he said, I've seen lots of miracles, like in the book of Acts. But he said, but I've never seen 3,000 get the Holy Ghost in one day. But he said, I am going to see it. I am going to see it. And sure enough, El Salvador, a crusade, over 3,000 got the Holy Ghost. And then pretty soon it was almost like clockwork, you know, that God would pour out his spirit. And then there's 4,000. Then there's 5,000. You know, God just loves to multiply. Amen. Amen. Because it's his harvest. His harvest. The Lord of the harvest. Praise God. So I wanted to ask you, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. And here they've been hurt bad. That's in chapter 16. The promise is made in chapter 18. Paul has been stoned. And I think they do a thorough job when they do that. I don't think they just are satisfied to put a few knots on your head. I think they try to end your life. The disciples stood around him as he's laying under that rubble and pile of stones. And he rises up and walks into the city and is there with them overnight and then journeys on the next day. How in the world could he do that? God. God. Praise God. So I'm thankful that's who we serve. Same God, right? Same God. Hallelujah. And thank the Lord that the power of God was there to bless. So Paul could reflect on what the Lord had done. Let's go back to Acts 9 and 31. Saul of Tarsus has been converted. I don't know what he did with those letters with authority to arrest believers in Damascus. He had letters of his own that he would write, 13 of them. Praise God, if we include Hebrews. But a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, got his attention. The Lord spoke to him, "I am Jesus." Saul of Tarsus answered, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Well, that's a moment of repentance. I mean, in seconds. It's not what Saul wants to do, is what do you want, Jesus? Praise God. And Ananias saw a vision. Saul saw a vision. God works on both ends. God knows how to bring it all together. Praise God. And Saul received his sight. He received the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And then 9:31 tells us this. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. Ooh, you mean it spread that fast? You mean there were churches in every area like that? Just like Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8? Yeah. And they were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Amen. Praise God. And the rest, the edifying, being built up, being encouraged, walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean they were taking a vacation. That doesn't mean they were just sitting back. No, they were multiplied. Praise God. The power of the Lord was there. You know, it's interesting how the Lord started his ministry with his disciples by giving them a deck load. You know what a deck load is? Fish. So bountiful that they're not in boxes, they're not in bags, they're all over the deck. There's so many of them. He started out that way, didn't he? And then after the resurrection, and they're out fishing, and the Lord's there on the shore, deck load again. The Lord knows how to impress the point. You are fishers of men. So then 3,000, 5,000, a multitude. Praise God. That's what the Lord desires to do. Amen. And you catch a lot of fish. I gotta remind Brother Alex, you know, bro, we've already got 180. We got a lot of flaying to do, a lot of canning to do, a lot of work to do. Oh, let's catch some more. You got to take care of the harvest. 5 caribou a day. A day. Up in Cayana. But you got to take care of them, right? Take care of the harvest. God wants to give us a harvest, and we got to be ready to take care of them. Acts 2:42. Oh, here's the one I was trying to remember. Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And in. The emphasis is there. They were stabilized. They were steadfast. They were teaching. They were together. They sat at the table. They travailed together. Praise God. I don't know if you'd call it small groups or not. Probably quite large. Verse 46 of chapter 2. Continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, eating their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praise God. That unity is so important. And the house to house, that's what we'll be doing. And the gladness and the singular purpose. Praise God. Just seeing what the Lord's going to do. Amen. House to house. I think that's important. Is your house serving God? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now we know house physical and house people. But thank God we can use what we have to serve the Lord. And that's what share groups do. Now notice, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They weren't backing off from the word of the Lord. They weren't leaving it behind. They weren't chasing after miracles and the sensational aspects of it all. The apostles' doctrine. It's what we believe. This is what we know. This is what we teach. Praise God. And they held on to it. And thank the Lord, you and I can hold on to it. And just trust that God is going to bring about the increase that he desires to show. Now, we are praying for double, and here we are at the end of October already, and I want us to pray for just one. Just one. That's all I want you to pray for, just one. Because if you get one, what have you done? You doubled. Okay? And we say it, you know, if you can't reach 100, reach one. And I think God is pleased with that. Because to know, to grow, and to show Jesus Christ is our purpose. That's our mission. If you want to know what our mission statement is, that's what it is. To know Jesus Christ. To grow in Jesus Christ, to show Jesus Christ. That's our mission, SPC's mission. And it's based on Scripture. Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Now this is, 2 Peter, the short letters that Peter wrote just are full of incredible statements, wonderful teaching. Because you remember his background. You remember open mouth, insert sandal syndrome that he had and some of the difficulties that he faced. But he admonishes, add to your faith. Add to it. Praise God. And verse 18 of chapter 3, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's where our worship is going to be. We worship him now, and we'll worship him forever. Praise God. So, we grow in those experiences in the Lord. And adding to our faith and all of those attributes of godliness, we add to our faith. Look at 2 Peter 1 and 8. If these things be in you and abound. Now, that's what's possible with God. There's an abundance. There's an increase. Praise God. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to be useless. You're not going to be fruitless. The power of God is going to be manifest through you. Amen. And thank God, that's what we want to see. Our text said, God will increase you mightily. Praise God. Oh my. I'm thankful that there's the potential that the Lord is holding out for us here that we can believe. We've multiplied share groups, and I believe there's more multiplication coming up. I believe God is going to use those opportunities to bring people into our homes, into our fellowship, and into our teaching. Praise God. And it's not just the time together there. You're looking for opportunities to get a Bible study. Yes. And you drag that chart out and show them, are you interested in looking at the scripture from front to back? And just real simple, straightforward lessons in less than an hour a week? Perfect. Here it is. You set up a time, you set up a place, your house serving the Lord. Amen. And here we go. Praise God. The Lord increasing mightily. Praise God. Because I believe that's what the Lord would have us to do. In chapter 6, we know Deuteronomy, he's got some amazing stuff in it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Amen. Worship him. Serve him. Live for him. Teach him. The Lord didn't choose you, Israel, because you were more in number. No, you were small. You were insignificant. But the Lord chose you because he loved you. I read that again today, and then I thought of 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Praise God. It wasn't because I was so bright, so spiritual, and so in tune with spiritual things here that I thought, oh, God's really going to choose me because I'm such a prize. No, he chose you. He pulled you out of the miry clay. He changed your lifestyle. He brought you into increasing mightily. Praise God. And thank the Lord we're able to step into that realm, believing him for even more. Even more. Thank God. And the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that we are trusting God for, and we're believing God for, we're working for, I believe God's going to do. Amen. Let's stand, please. Observe to do it, Moses told him, that it may be well with thee. Praise God. It's just a goodness that that God wants to display. Amen. And increasing mightily, as the Lord thy God has promised thee. Amen. I believe that's what the Lord desires to do. Can we come and pray? And We're going to believe God for just one. Amen. And trusting the Lord that he's going to bring that for us. I believe we've doubled in a lot of ways. Brother Mike talked about doubling in prayer and doubling in outreach, doubling in number of guests, doubling in at times you've told your testimony and how you've witnessed. Amen. There are lots of metrics that we could use here in terms of doubling. Doubling in number? Oh, we would love to see that. But there has been the increase. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're just going to keep believing God for one more. One more. Amen. And see what God will do. Let's give him thanks right now and give him praise and worship in his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.